Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen responds to growing fears of a recession, saying she doesn't think a recession is inevitable, but she acknowledges inflation is a problem and she does expect the economy to slow in the months ahead. What she said about those skyrocketing prices at the pump and a possible gas tax holiday. Also tonight, the new evidence against former President Trump that the January 6th committee plans to present this week. One of only two Republicans on the committee, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, says Donald Trump's role in the Capitol insurrection would rise to a level of criminal involvement. Will the Department of Justice bring charges? And the results of our new poll, do Americans think Trump should be prosecuted? The growing travel nightmare, hundreds of flights canceled today, leaving thousands stranded and compounding fears of what's to come as we approach peak summer travel. The pressure the Biden administration is now putting on the airlines. The dangerous new heat wave taking aim at much of the country. Millions under heat alerts tonight. Rob Marciano standing by, timing it out. The new warning from NATO that the war in Ukraine could drag on for years as American firepower makes it to the front lines. Our team on the ground with an up-close look. But will the heavy artillery make a difference in the war? The news out of Italy, the Oscar-winning film director detained after allegations of sexual assault. Celebrations across the country commemorating this year's Juneteenth national holiday, marking the end of slavery in America, and led by the 95-year-old grandmother of Juneteenth, Opal Lee. And an emotional story this Father's Day, the promise one dad made to his son, a dream fulfilled.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Father's Day. I'm Lindsay Davis. Tonight, the Treasury Secretary is speaking out about the struggling economy and the worst inflation in 40 years. Just today, Janet Yellen described inflation as unacceptably high and called it the president's top priority. She echoed his words, saying, "I don't think a recession is at all inevitable." Inflation is now at 8.6%, impacting just about everything we buy, from the grocery store to those costly fill-ups at the gas pump. With the average cost of a gallon of gas now hovering near $5 nationally, Yellen suggests a gas tax holiday is certainly worth considering. For more on what this all means for the millions of Americans struggling just to get by, ABC's business correspondent Deirdre Bolton leads us off.
Tonight, with inflation at 8.6% and Americans getting squeezed on prices for basics like food, gas, and rent, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the economy will slow.
It's been growing at a very rapid rate. It's natural now that we expect a transition to steady and stable growth. But I don't think a recession is at all inevitable.
According to economists surveyed by Bloomberg, the odds of a U.S. recession in the next 12 months are rising. The possibility is now pegged at 30%, double the odds from 3 months ago.
It's really kind of tough, you know, because you want to have everything provided, but everything is so high.
Americans still paying near record prices for gasoline, more than 60% higher than this time last year.
I'm dipping in savings so that I can live.
The price of gasoline affects so many parts of the economy. The diesel that trucking companies use also near record highs.
Next time you go to the grocery store, the hardware store, you buy something online, you're going to pay for it. Or I should say, you're going to pay much more for it, given the fact that diesel prices now are approaching $6 a gallon for a national average.
As for potential fixes, a federal gas tax holiday may be on the table, with consumers paying 18.4 cents less per gallon every time they fill up.
President Biden wants to do anything he possibly can to help consumers. Gas prices have risen a great deal, and it's clearly burdening households. So he stands ready to work with Congress, and that's an idea that's certainly worth considering.
People can certainly use all the help they can get. Deirdre Bolton joins us now. And Deirdre, the Fed has been hiking interest rates in order to try to slow inflation and bring down prices. But there are concerns that as the economy slows, people could lose their jobs.
Lindsay, that is a possibility. The Fed is really between a rock and a hard place here. Secretary Yellen saying earlier today it is going to take skill and luck to bring down inflation while maintaining a strong U.S. labor market. But she says she does think it is possible. Lindsay?
Many Americans hope she's right, Deirdre. Thank you. We turn now to the Capitol riot investigation. Public hearings resume this week. And tonight, one of the two Republicans on the committee, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, says the actions of former President Trump may rise to the level of criminal involvement in the January 6th insurrection. Our new ABC News Ipsos poll shows a majority of Americans believe Trump bears significant responsibility for events and should be prosecuted. And the new evidence a committee member says they will present in the next hearings. Here's ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks.
With three of seven hearings down and two more scheduled this week, tonight the big question, will the January 6th Select Committee's findings lead the Department of Justice to bring any criminal charges?
I certainly think the president is guilty of knowing what he did, seditious conspiracy, being involved in these, you know, kind of different segments of pressuring DOJ, vice president, et cetera. Obviously, you know, we're not a criminal charges committee, so I want to be careful in specifically using that language. But I think what we're presenting before the American people certainly would rise to a level of criminal involvement by a president and definitely failure of the oath.
58% of Americans in our new ABC Ipsos poll believe Donald Trump should be criminally prosecuted for his role in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Staff and his allies could be in jeopardy, too. At the request of the Justice Department, the committee could turn over transcripts of all of their witness interviews as early as July. Many close to Trump testifying they told the former president before January 6th that Mike Pence could not overturn the election. The committee sharing Trump had been advised that, in fact, it would violate the law. Still, the committee says the former president engaged in a pressure campaign, criticizing Pence as the mob drew at the Capitol for not, quote, having the courage to do what was needed to be done. An attack he continued Friday over a year and a half later.
Mike Pence had a chance to be great. He had a chance to be, frankly, historic. But Mike did not have the courage to act.
This week, the committee says they plan to show how President Trump also pressured state officials, like in this phone call when he asked Georgia Secretary of State to find votes.
All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes.
And detail a plan to have state legislatures send their own representatives to Washington to vote in the Electoral College for Trump.
Yes, we'll show evidence of the president's involvement in this scheme.
The committee trying to draw that straight line to the former president. Mary Alice Parks joins us now. And Mary Alice, we heard Congressman Schiff there with a preview of what the committee will present this week. What else are you learning?
Yeah, Lindsay, we know that Secretary of State, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and his top deputy, Gabe Sterling, who were on the other end of that call with Trump, are expected to testify. We're also expecting a second hearing this week focused on what was happening at the Justice Department. The committee says that Trump was looking for people there who would elevate his conspiracy theories after he lost. Lindsay?
We'll, of course, have complete coverage on Tuesday. Mary Alice, thank you. Next tonight, hundreds of flights are canceled, stranding flyers nationwide, desperate passengers struggling to get to their destination. And many are worried about what's in store for the upcoming 4th of July weekend. ABC's Elwin Lopez reports in from Atlanta tonight.
Thousands of passengers stranded over the weekend, waiting for hours in long lines like this one in Salt Lake City, stretching past stores, restaurants, and gates.
It's frustrating. It makes me feel powerless. I've been stuck in an airport basically for 2 days.
And tonight, the FAA warning weather could lead to additional ground stops in Florida through the evening. This as airlines struggle to keep up with the surge of travelers.
They were just upset. They were panicking. A lot of people were crying.
Today alone, more than 800 flights canceled. In New York, Jonathan Edmond says he was one of many who spent nearly an entire day at the airport.
Some of them were missing weddings. Some of them were missing baby showers.
United Airlines grounding dozens of flights Sunday. Delta hit the hardest with more than 200 cancellations.
I've never seen it this packed.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg now urging airlines to hire more customer service agents ahead of the July 4th holiday, warning if things do not improve, they could face fines.
We're doing everything we can, including trying to get in touch earlier so they can know and plan and rebook if they have to. And then again, trying to hire people back and get more people on the job.
And Lindsay, depending on the airline, if you're already at the gate and you get that last minute cancellation due to staffing shortages, ask for a hotel voucher or a change of flight. Now, if you have not made your way to the airport yet, you can call the airline to cancel your ticket and request a refund. Lindsay?
Some helpful tips there, Elwin. Thank you. It is not officially summer yet on the calendar, but much of the nation is bracing for more sweltering temperatures. A brutal heat wave is moving east, pushing temperatures well into the 90s. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano, who's timing it all out for us. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Lindsay. While it was a comfortably cool and pleasant Father's Day in the east, the heat already building in the central part of the country, 100 degrees in Grand Forks, North Dakota. That's a record. Look at tomorrow's highs in Fargo, expected to be 100 there. Excessive heat warnings still up, 99 degrees in Minneapolis. And then Tuesday and Wednesday into the middle and eastern part of the country, that's when the heat really begins to build. Dangerous heat in Atlanta on Wednesday and Thursday, up and over 100 degrees. And looking for the first official week of summer, much of the country looks to be above average. Lindsay?
Rob, thank you. We turn next to Ukraine. NATO's Secretary General now warns Putin's war could drag on for years. Tonight, we have an inside glimpse at the American firepower on the front lines. The U.S. provided howitzers helping the battle in the Donbass. Our team on the ground in Ukraine with exclusive access. Are those weapons making a difference? ABC's Britt Klenit is in Kyiv for us tonight.
Tonight, homes on fire in northeastern Ukraine after heavy Russian shelling. And tonight, still no word on the fate of three Americans thought to have gone missing while fighting in the east, where the Kremlin appears to be doubling down. A Ukrainian official saying Russia is sending in reserves to the key city of Severodonetsk. But American firepower assisting in the battle for the Donbass. Our James Longman getting exclusive access as Ukrainian forces fired howitzers on the front line.
The power of that gun is just unreal. It sucks the air out of you as it goes out. Now, this is an active combat zone. They are finding Russian targets.
NATO's Secretary General today warning Putin's war could last for years. President Zelensky visiting his troops in southern frontline cities, honoring the warriors for their bravery, vowing, "We will not give away the South to anyone." The South showing its resilience. The opera returning to Odessa. Russian missiles pounding targets near Mykolaiv. Ukrainian sniper Emma Zinchenko based in the front line there. She tells me Putin's forces appear to be ramping up attacks on Ukrainian positions.
We have a new position behind the city, and yesterday they bombed our last position.
Does it feel like you're still winning?
Yes. We didn't have a choice. Or we winning or we die.
Emma, a Crimean Muslim who already uprooted her life because of Russian expansionism, vows not to do it again.
Are you willing to die?
Yes. I know where I go. I can die every day.
Lindsay, UK intelligence tonight saying that poor logistics and heavy casualties on the Russian side is driving down morale, something that is likely to limit Putin's forces from achieving his military goals. Lindsay?
Britt, thank you. New details tonight from the investigation into the Uvalde school massacre. The information obtained by ABC News and first reported by the San Antonio Express News could call into question Chief Arredondo's version of events. Surveillance video reportedly shows that police never tried to open the door to the two classrooms where the gunman killed 19 students and two teachers. And officers are said to have had access to a tool which they could have used to open those doors. Tonight, parents of children five and under are closer to being able to get their children vaccinated against COVID. The first shots in arms are expected as early as tomorrow after the CDC signed off this weekend on the vaccines. The news comes amid a new wave of infections in Israel. The number of severely ill patients has jumped 76% just in the past week. Tonight, Americans across the country are commemorating Juneteenth, the national holiday marking the day the last enslaved people in Texas first learned that they were free. There were celebrations and events across the country, a large crowd turning out for a parade and celebration in Milwaukee. Here's ABC's Zachary Quiche.
Tonight, Juneteenth, a day honoring America's march towards racial equality, being recognized across the country.
Just makes us so happy to be able to be around our peers and to see all these beautiful black people here and proud of their culture and their history.
The national holiday acknowledges the long-fought freedom for black Americans living in chattel slavery. In 1865, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, federal troops informed black enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, that they were free. And this weekend, many celebrated freedom. In Buffalo, a mark of the continued fight, the community coming together after 10 black lives were recently taken.
Let me hear you say yeah!
In Fort Worth, 95-year-old Opal Lee, a leading advocate of the holiday and often referred to as the grandmother of Juneteenth, showing black joy is an act of resistance. Her tradition, a 2.5-mile walk, symbolic of the additional time it took for those in Galveston.
I'm advocating that we celebrate freedom from the 19th of June to the 4th of June.
Juneteenth will be observed tomorrow on a national level. That said, several states still do not acknowledge the day as a legal holiday. Lindsay?
Zachary, thank you. And there's still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. The new rule that restricts transgender athletes from the world's most elite swimming competitions and the devastating flooding overseas, what some are calling the worst flooding in nearly two decades.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, Bangladesh is experiencing some of the worst flooding in nearly 20 years. Millions of homes are underwater and roadways flooded. At least 21 people were killed in lightning strikes triggered by the storms. Relief isn't expected anytime soon because it's monsoon season and more torrential rains are in the forecast. Today, the governing body for World Swimming voted to restrict the participation of transgender athletes in women's events. Nearly 72% of FINA's members voted in favor of a policy that requires trans swimmers to have completed their transition or suppressed male puberty by the age of 12 in order to compete. The new policy starts tomorrow. Apple Store employees at a Baltimore area store voted to unionize by nearly a 2-to-1 margin on Saturday. It's the first time workers at one of the company's nearly 300 U.S. stores voted to make such a move. They plan to join the International Association of Machinists Aerospace Workers. Now the National Labor Relations Board needs to certify the votes. When we come back, new details after two stars of a Netflix series were killed in a crash, and the Oscar-winning screenwriter and director arrested on sexual assault allegations. To the Index now, Oscar-winning screenwriter and director Paul Haggis was arrested in Italy on charges of sexual assault and aggravated personal injury. A woman was allegedly forced to have non-consensual sexual relations over 2 days. The 69-year-old was sued in 2018 by a woman accusing him of rape. He denies past allegations as well as the most recent charge. Haggis is best known for the movie Crash and also won an Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for that movie. News tonight about the deadly vehicle crash that killed two stars of the Netflix series The Chosen One, and at least six others were also injured. According to local media, Raimundo Garduno Cruz and Juan Francisco Gonzalez Aguilar died after their van flipped after running off the road in a desert area in Mexico. Production of the series has been temporarily suspended. And singer Neil Diamond made a rare appearance at Boston's Fenway Park Saturday night to sing What Else? But sweet Caroline, it was the first time the 81-year-old has been back since retiring from touring in 2018 after being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The song has been an eighth-inning tradition at Red Sox games for 25 years. And when we come back, America Strong on this Father's Day, one dad makes sure it's an extra special one for him and his baby boy. Finally tonight, one New York dad got just what he wanted this Father's Day. Months in the making, it was a moment that many of us take for granted.
This day is monumental for 38-year-old Ricky Caputo and his 10-month-old son, Jack.
We're going to take our first steps together?
For Ricky, a paraplegic, this was his Father's Day wish, that he and his son would take their first steps together.
It's a bittersweet thing for me.
4 years ago, Ricky was in a motorcycle accident in Staten Island, New York. Doctors told him he might never walk again. He was later implanted with a spinal cord stimulator to help restore his motor and sensory function. And subsequently, Ricky has accomplished a lot of firsts since that day, playing golf, flying a helicopter, even swimming with the sharks. And then nearly a year ago, he and his wife, Jen, welcomed their son, Jack.
If anyone can walk again after this injury, it's him.
After intensive physical therapy, 5 days a week at Staten Island University Hospital, Ricky is now starting to have sensation below where the spinal cord was damaged. At a recent therapy session, Ricky's wish came true. For the first time, he and his son, Jack, stepping forward side by side, hand in hand.
Come on, Jack, we're going to rock and roll. Let's go.
Ricky literally taking it all one step at a time all around the room, and Jack keeping up right by his side.
Good job, Jack.
Ricky's ultimate goal is to be able to keep up with his son without all the equipment, showing us the power of determination and a father's love.
You know, if anybody can get anything out of this, it's that really anything's possible. Just don't give up hope.
Just taking it one step, one day at a time. Happy Father's Day, everyone. GMA first thing in the morning. David Muir right back here tomorrow night. I'm Lindsay Davis in New York. Have a great evening and a great night.
Thank you for making World News Tonight with David Muir, America's most watched newscast.